Podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Miller, joined as always by my co-host, Corey Kinnon. I got the decaf coffee. We're recording at night. I'm about to go to sleep after this. But we have a very special episode, an episode that we haven't done in a little while. Mm-hmm. It is a daft or draft. Listen, we will have a mailbag tomorrow. So we are having all of the fun this week. We went over some player odds in the episode before, but the daft or drafts, the mailbags, these are the fun ones that we get to get into before we get into the 2026 class. But we're going to talk a little bit about the 2026 class in this daft or draft. But first, I have to ask, Corey, how are you doing today?
I am swell. I'm a little tired on the tired side today, but I got softball tonight. I'm living my dream, so I'm ready to roll.
There you go. Yeah, I had a leg day today and thought I was going to have to get carried out. That YouTube video is going to be pretty funny. Unfortunately, it didn't. My videographer didn't like record me barely being able to get up off of the leg press when I was done with it. But my face is at the end of some of these sets. Like I am hammering out the legs right now. But yeah. Anyways, let's get into it. Daft or draft. Corey, what are we talking about first?
Yeah. So let's start with before we dive into next year's class, let's start with the wide receiver class that just got drafted. Dalton, daft or draft, there will be no 1,000-yard receiving rookies from this year's class.
Draft. I'm drafting it. There will be zero 1,000-yard receiving rookies. Now, I can change my answer very, very quickly if you tell me that Travis Hunter is going to play 80% of the offensive snaps for Jacksonville. But I don't see anybody else doing it. And part of it is because I just don't trust, like, I don't trust the passing attack in Carolina enough to get. And I know, like, 1,000 yards isn't even that much. Like, I look through and it's like, Ladd McConkey had 1,000 yards last year. Like, did you even hear much about Ladd last year? Like, as good as he was, like, and as good as Justin Herbert. He's awesome. And that's the other thing, like, it's Justin Herbert versus, like, I just don't think Bryce Young and that passing attack is going to, I mean, are we going to get a slant merchant thing? I mean, that's pretty much what Tet's going to have to be in that offense, right? A slant merchant? A Michael Thomas type? Like, do you trust that? Do you trust any of these other receivers from that class? Like, no.
Not pretend. Well, yeah, I mean, you're right there. Because Luther Burden's in a crowded spot in Chicago.
And did anybody go to a great situation? No. Like,
Tet's the best in terms of, like, target share.
Opportunity, because, outside of Travis Hunter. But, like, I don't know the Travis Hunter situation.
Right.
So, like, at the end of the day, when we look at this, and we look at receiving yards for rookies over the last couple of years here, like,
Marvin Harrison didn't even hit 1,000 yards last year.
Marvin Harrison didn't hit 1,000 yards. There's been 11 in the past 5 years, which, like, is a lot. But also Brock Bowers was one of them at tight end. Kyle Pitts was another at tight end. So there's actually been 9 and 11, and there has been one every year. Okay, I hate this.
Yeah, but we're not counting Tyler Warren or Colson Loveland in this conversation, are we?
No, we are not.
Yeah,
I just don't think it happens this year.
So two phased here. I do think Travis Hunter is going to play a lot of wide receiver because he's too good of a playmaker not to get the football in his hands.
Yeah.
And again, Baker Mayfield threw the ball. Let me pull this up. He threw the ball over 40 times in almost every single game last year. So if we're talking about Liam Cohen, with a similar staple of running backs, so there isn't like a true guy that you can lean on, we're probably talking about a similar amount of passing attempts for Trevor Lawrence this year. One, two, three, four. Okay, only four games over 40. Never mind. But most of the games over 30 passing attempts. Talking about 570 passing attempts last year. Man, I'm going to daft it because I do think Travis Hunter gets there as a wide receiver too in Jacksonville. But also, I want to buy into Tet in Carolina because he's just going to see such a significant target share in that offense. Like, I know they have Jalen Coker and I know they have Xavier Leggett, but like, they did not have a single efficient receiver in that offense last year. And this is what scares me off of Tet a little bit. We're talking about 615 yards as their leading receiver last year, and Adam Thielen, the grandpa of that wide receiver room, Adam Thielen. Xavier Leggett had 84 targets and less than 500 yards last year.
Yep.
This is not a very efficient passing attack. It wasn't last year, at least.
Legitimately awful for a long time, too.
Yeah, the early season Bryce stuff was bad.
And Bryce started playing a little bit better, but yeah.
But I mean, we're still talking about 497 yards on 84 targets for Leggett, 615 on 62 for Thielen. Like, that's so inefficient. So inefficient. So I think Bryce would have to take a pretty big leap for that to change a little bit.
Yeah.
And then again, yeah, I don't think there's another wide receiver I would trust outside of Tet or Travis to get there this year. There just isn't one. I'm going to adapt it because I think Travis and Brian Thomas both go over.
Yeah, I'm going to change my answer because I looked at the rest of the Jags depth chart. I'd forgotten. It's only them.
Yeah,
it's only them. Yeah, they're gonna play him at wide receiver on every offensive snap if they can. Wow, that's a bad room. After what that room was, that's a bad room now. And it wasn't great before, but it great. Is.
But I mean, getting rid of Gabe Davis is kind of addition by subtraction. But
sure.
But Christian Kirk, I get trading him, and especially you got an asset out of him, so I get that. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is. It's going to be Brian Thomas and Travis Hunter, which is a pretty great freaking duo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to buy into that. Let's move on.
Yes.
This one's just going to be a pretty short conversation here, but after draft, Arch Manning will be a member of the 2026 NFL draft class.
Oh, daft. No, he's not. He won't be. No, he will not. He will not declare this year. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever with what we saw from the Manning brothers, what we have seen from quarterbacks recently with not playing a lot at the college level. He will have very, very minimal snaps at the college level. Those guys both played 4 years. The Mannings. He is financially stable for the rest of his life and the rest of his grandchildren's life.
He made $6 million last year as a backup.
Yes. And not to mention the enormous amount of money that his family has. He doesn't need to declare. He won't declare. I wouldn't be surprised if he hung around for as long as humanly possible at the college level, trying to win a championship at Texas. Because, I mean, nobody's going to start over him at this point. And no. Texas has a phenomenal chance to be the one contender in the SEC year in and year out at this point. So, along with Georgia. So, for me, I truly believe there is a 1% chance that he declares, and it would only be if he goes out, wins the Heisman, and is very, very clearly
number one overall,
the best player in, like an unbelievable Trevor Lawrence level ascension of prospect.
Which and could I happen because the happen. Tools are there, but yeah.
The tools are there, yes, but I just... For it to all come together like that, and even if it does all come together like that, I still don't think he declares.
I don't either, especially when you look at, and like, I think the Mannings are smart, obviously, as well. Look at the trend of guys who have come out after 1 year, gone in the NFL, what's happened with them. It's not great. No. Versus the guys who have started 2 to 3 years, then they come out, they're ready. They're more ready to take on the NFL. Like,
it's such a cognitive leap.
Isn't a great case because Anthony Richardson had a long way to go to begin with. But like Mitch Trubisky,
yeah,
like the, you could go like the data is not there to be a one and done at the college level, especially. No. Again, it makes a little bit more sense for Trubisky, or it makes a little bit more sense for Richardson, because those guys weren't around during the NIL. Well, Richardson was, that might have been right before NIL, but yeah. It wasn't like when quarterbacks are making $5 million, $4 million. Arch's NIL evaluation is $6 million, man. Like, there is no rush in the world for him. So I think we're going to see him at least two seasons starting at Texas for sure.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right, let's stick with the quarterback trend here, though. And let's talk about, again, we got to kind of combine two different things here. How we value the quarterback talent of this year's draft class. And also, how we look at teams who didn't draft quarterbacks that we thought should, or teams that could be in a position to draft quarterbacks next year. Dalton, after draft, the over-under, and we're going to say over here, we will see over 3.5 quarterbacks drafted in the first round of the 2026 NFL draft.
I'm going to draft it. Oh boy.
3.5 is like such a tough number.
Three and a half is a really tough number. But like when you look around the league, how many of these teams are potentially going to need a quarterback next year? There are so many. Cleveland is one of them.
New Orleans could come back.
New Orleans, Las Vegas, the Rams.
The Giants could come back.
The Giants, Indianapolis, the Jets, Seattle, not Tennessee, Pittsburgh. Like there's so many teams that right now we could see. And that's not to mention, like, if any of the rookies from last, like, if anybody just, like, completely falls off as well and is just not the answer. And then we have to look, in my opinion, the biggest thing that was lacking last year was the amount of physical upside, I think, that we saw from the 2025 class.
Yeah.
Compared to the 2026 class, I don't really have
it's all physical questions. Upside. That's literally it.
Well, yeah, exactly. And it's a lot of young guys as well, which is scary. But like Carson Beck was going into last year as QB1.
Don't talk to me about Carson Beck this year. Just don't talk to me about those physical tools.
And now, like next year, you're looking at Klubnik, who has the tools. Arch, who we don't think is going to declare, but has the tools. But Norris Sellers is a freak, but needs to get a lot better.
Fernando Mendoza has a freaking hope.
Head over heels in love with Fernando Mendoza. There are people out there that will stamp on the table for Garrett Nussmeier. I think he's Tony Romo 2.0 at his greatest and at his worst. I love watching Garrett Nussmeier because he's a heart attack out there. And it's so much fun. Drew Aller has the tools. He's got the arm and
he's got the upper half tools at least. Yeah.
Well, you say he has the upper half tools, but like, I even think he's a little bit Big Ben-ish, but I think he's a better like natural runner than Big Ben is too. Like he's not super athletic, but he can get on the hoof and pick up a third down if he has to. And then you also have guys like a little bit down the line, like Aiden Childs. We loved Hunter Weigman's tools if he could have ever gotten it together.
Dante Moore is going to be starting at Oregon this year again after starting as a freshman at UCLA, backing up last year.
Like,
took a beat this past year, kind of got his reins beneath him, coming back out now. We'll see how that looks, but that's a five-star recruit.
And there's a lot of guys who are a lot of fun. John Mateer is a lot of fun. Sam Levitt, a lot of fun.
Yeah, those guys are
like
cocaine snippers in the huddle between.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's an intriguing class. I will say that there's a lot to be, in my opinion, excited about for the future. And I think that there are like four legitimate names in Klubnik, Sellers, Mendoza, Nussmeier, Aller, and maybe Childs and Mateer, who I could all see a world where they are first round, like, or back end of the first round guys. I mean, holy hell, Jackson Dart went the first round this year. Let's be real.
Yeah, that's fair. So I've put a lot of work in on this class already, and I'm going to strip the list down a little bit from like what you just did. Mm-hmm. I think for me personally, it would take a massive leap from Aller for me to say like, yeah, this guy's going to go in the first round. But again, Jackson Dart did just go in the first round. So I'm going to strip this list down of potentials to Mendoza, Klubnik, Sellers, I'll throw Nussmeier in there. Is like there's always one high floor guy in there. Oh, there's always one high floor guy in the group. I think Nussmeier kind of fits that high floor guy. And then the wild card for me would be Childs, and that's five.
I think Nussmeier I think Nussmeier is high enough tools to go first round if he plays really clean.
He does. Yeah, for sure.
I think the arm is there.
I've reduced it to.
Yeah.
Two 20-year-olds, though, and we've just talked about how 20-year-olds don't need to be in a rush to go back to go to the NFL in Sellers and in Childs. I think Childs is more likely to go back than Sellers because obviously Sellers has rare tools. And yeah. I think he already has a pretty decent foundation as a pocket passer in an offense that like transformed Spencer Rattler into a massive drifter into like almost too robotic of a pocket passer by the time he finished at South Carolina. So I do think the developmental stuff is going to be there at South Carolina for Sellers with already a good foundation because you can tell he wants to stand in there and wants to throw from the pocket. But he's got some work to do. So that's four. So that would be me saying, I think all of Mendoza, Klubnik, Sellers, Nussmeier go first round next year.
Yeah.
I'm going to daft it. I'm going to go just under. I'm going to say three. Because I even accounted for like that one riser we have every year, who I'm going to say is Aiden Childs is going to be that guy that is going to rise because I love the kid's game already, even though he has his box store says something different. I'm going to go just under and I'm going to say three. So I'm going to daft it and just go three here.
All right. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I just, when I'm looking at when I look at how many teams I can already see needing quarterbacks,
mm-hmm.
and then I keep going back to, but Jackson Dart went in round one. Like,
yeah.
That's just what I keep going back to. So, anywho.
It's fair.
Anywho, what is our final Dafter draft, Corey?
Yeah, final Dafter draft here. Dafter draft, Ohio State safety Caleb Downs will be the first defensive player drafted in the 2026 NFL draft. I'm going to daft this one. Has a safety ever been the first defensive player drafted?
What about
Jamal Adams is the only one who comes to my mind.
He was
fifth, but I think that was 2017, and that's the year Miles Garrett went number one overall, right?
Yeah. And when was
Eric Berry, maybe? He was drafted fifth overall. What year was that?
Well, I couldn't tell you. That was a long time ago.
Eric Berry, I want to say it was like 2012, maybe. No, 2010. He's 2010, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he was. And he was not. And Ndamukong Suh and Gerald McCoy were the second and third overall picks in that year's class. So that's why I'm going to daft it, is like safeties are never the first defensive players off the board. And there's a lot of really good defensive players in this next year's class. Like we're
Gary
talking about
Glick. Gary was Glick. First overall in 1956.
Yeah.
That's the only one.
We got to go back 70 years, 60 years on the dot.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about Peter Woods. We're talking about Keldrick Falk out of Auburn. those guys could go ahead of him. Although looking through the list of defensive players, I mean, those are the only two that I would say right now off the rip.
When was Derwin James drafted? Was he 10th overall?
He was like 17th. He went mid-round.
Yeah, that's right. He fell. I forgot he fell. Yeah.
Yeah. And Kyle Hamilton, too, who I, in that, the 2020, that was the 2020.
He was the number one player
in
that class. Yeah, yeah.
I had him as the number one player in that class, and he went 12th, 13th. Yeah.
14th, I think.
Yeah. I will say the amount of defensive talent, like, above him should be significant. And again, we're talking about Eric Berry, who got, like, and Jamal Adams, two players who went 5th overall, had, like, pseudo what we termed then as generational players being drafted ahead of them. And Ndamukong Suh was a Heisman finalist as a defensive tackle. Legitimately had a high, like, people thought he got robbed of the Heisman playing defensive tackle at Nebraska. Miles Garrett has been coined a generational prospect, and he's kind of lived up to that. Like, he's a one of one alien freak. So, like,
yes,
I don't think there's that level of prospect in this class ahead of Caleb Downs, but I do think Peter Woods is really freaking good, man. And teams always tend to go for pass rush upside defensive linemen early on in the draft.
Here's I'm going to take this a step further and just end the discussion about whether it'll happen or not. I think, first of all, I'm drafting it. I think there's a better chance that he's not the first defensive player drafted from his team than there is he has a chance of being the first defensive player drafted in the class.
That's bold. That's pretty bold. Is that Sonny Styles love?
That might be some Sonny Styles. Maybe not love, but like when you are a former safety, you are 240 pounds, that type of athlete. If he produces like crazy at linebacker for them, if he shows a little bit of pass rush upside, I mean, we're looking at somebody who could legitimately have like a Jalen Walker type of ascension and having that safety background, you're talking about a guy who you could consider or you would believe to be an adequate at worst player in coverage. So like, you're already talking about a freak athlete who this year could have declared at 19 and is going to only probably get better. And at the end of the day, Caleb Downs, is he a forward mostly player?
Yeah.
And like, how valuable is it?
I mean, Jamal Adams did go
what he does. Is what he does as valuable as what Malachi Starks did for Georgia?
I would say back end wise, yeah. I mean, how much other talent is in that secondary at Ohio State? Denzel Burke was a day three pick. I like Jermaine Matthews. I think Jermaine Matthews is going to flirt with the day one pick this next year, I guess, at Ohio State. But you can look up his charting and his alignment, like, and you could see that he is predominantly a box safety.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like that's not us fabricating anything about his profile. And that's not to say he's not a great player or worthy of a first round pick, but that is the case.
The only other thing I will say as a caveat here is the returnability does add a little bit of value to him. It does add value for him.
Sure does.
But I do truly believe just because he's a safety, and you guys know I love safeties, and I would draft a safety in the top five. I do not care. The NFL doesn't look at it that way, and that's just the way it is at the end of the day.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. Definitely agree with that. So, all right. There was four after drafts right there we just knocked out. That's a pretty solid episode, if I do say so myself.
I think so, too.
All right. Well, Dalton, I don't have anything else. Do you want to tell the people that you love them and get on out of here?
Absolutely. Guys, thank you for listening. Make sure that you listen in tomorrow. We will be answering your questions. Hopefully, we get a bunch of them so we can do some rapid fire Q&A stuff. And we already got some in today. We will get more in for tomorrow. and we will have a blast with it. It's the off season. We're going to have fun on these episodes for a while as we get into the 2026 class. I am throwing John Mateer right now up onto the Patreon level two player cut-ups, passing downs and rushing attempts. Like it, I am projecting right now. It is a labor of love, but I do it for the people because I love you guys. Have a good day. Corey will be live, I am sure, at some point on Twitch.
I guess tonight by the time this episode goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love you guys.